Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the Public Service Commission to order. It is 10 o'clock on Wednesday, August 17th. My name is Julie Fedorchak. Also with me are Commissioner Randy Christman and Sherry Haugen-Hoffert, so we have a quorum. For opening comments, I wanted to mention, and I think we'll have a news release coming out, but I was recently not named to the board, the advisory board for EPRI, which is the, I don't know what EPRI stands for. I should. But it is an electricity. It's an electricity industry research entity. And they have a separate board of directors and a whole staff. They do an awful lot of research nationally on topical industry issues. They're very engaged in electrification and in this entire electricity transition. So I'm one of the NARUC appointees. There's a handful of folks appointed to that advisory council. And it's, I believe it's a two-year appointment, and my appointment starts immediately. So I'll be, you'll be hearing of me occasionally going to these advisory council meetings, and I'm excited to offer a North Dakota perspective to all the issues that they're contemplating in that world. And they are pretty deeply engaged in other industry-related efforts through the RTOs and the other regional regulatory associations and the national organization as well. So EPRI is often quoted. So I'm excited to learn more about it, get more engaged, and offer my insights into their discussions as well. So that's it for my opening comments. Commissioner Christman.
Well, first I'll say that I think that the appointment to the advisory council, the EPRI, is epic.
Excellent.
I attended the commissioning of the new drag line for BNI Coal. And, you know, it was certainly a nice event. They had it well planned, had a nice day for it. Two of our three congressional delegation made it. One missed out on the flight, I think, because it was the day after that round robin of Senate voting on that. Business in D.C., whatever you call it, because you can't go by the bill title because it certainly was anything but what they called it. Bottom line, though, is great event. And one thing that they did not emphasize that I thought was such a cool point in it. They've been operating about a half a century out there, and I've been very familiar with them. It's near my home area. It was my legislative district. Very proud of all the accomplishments they've had over that time. The drag line that they're replacing came into use not long after they started. They've used it for 45 years. And of that model of drag line, which is kind of just the right size for that mine, it was the oldest one in existence of that model, but it needed a lot of new maintenance now. And so this is just so North Dakotan to me. Rather than just whatever it costs to build a new drag line of that size, they were aware of a mine closure in Mississippi. And that mine had the newest of that drag line model that was setting idle now. But you know how even if it wasn't on tracks and able to spin, just as a building, they're huge. But when you think of it as a machine that moves around, it's just amazing how big they are. They sent people down there. They not only evaluated the machine, it had only been used a few years. It's really a pretty new machine. They evaluated it closely. They looked through the parts inventory and everything, calculated what it would cost them to take this machine apart. I don't know what they paid for it. I imagine not much, because I mean, what are you going to do with a drag line, right? But I think the big cost was taking it apart, hauling it all the way up here from Mississippi, and then reassembling it. Altogether, everything cost $31 million. Okay, a lot of money, big machine. I inquired, what would it have cost to build a new one? Over $100 million.
Wow.
That mine saved our ratepayers over $70 million in coal costs that they do not have to pass on to Minn Kota. Now, our is not only North Dakota, but I just think it's a wonderful story, and just really proud of the mine for taking that cautious approach and trying to keep their costs down and remain competitive.
That's awesome. Great story. Do you happen to know how many loads? Or did they train it?
No, it was on trucks, and I think they mentioned that, but I do not recall what it was.
Crazy. Yeah, I hated to miss that event. I was at the Reliability or Resource Adequacy Summit for OMS that we held out in Madison during that same time, which was also really interesting and engaging, and more to come on that down the road. Commissioner Hogan-Hufford?
Yeah, I have a couple things. First, I'm going to add to what Randy said. I was privileged to be there for that drag line commissioning. Two things stand out for me. Number one, I was impressed on the historical aspect, the number of generations that were there that represented being a grandfather or a father, but three or four generations were there, indicating that family has been there. But they had the naming of the new drag line, and the submission was won by a lady who represented three generations working at the coal mine, and the name of the new drag line is Legacy. So that was neat, and she got to commission by breaking the champagne or the bottle. So that was really neat. So like Commissioner Chrisman said, it was a great event, and I was glad I got to be there. And Commissioner Chrisman did a great job representing us as he spoke there. So good job, Randy.
Thank you.
And Senator Kramer always does a great job recognizing the PSC and the work we do. So I want to give a shout out to him on what he does to support us in our work. The other comment I have has to do with Red Trail Energy Ethanol Plant. We saw that they came live with their CO2 sequestration. And as staff, as a commissioner, I was really curious on that plant and the tour. So on August 10th, three of us, myself, along with Jack Hsu, legal counsel, and Victor Shook, went to Red Trail Energy for our own personal tour. A gentleman by the name of Ryan Mock, who is the laboratory environmental and safety manager, gave us our tour, and very enthusiastic, very proud of the place he works. And just some interesting facts that I was really impressed is they don't waste anything out there. The plant consumes approximately 21 to 23 million bushels of corn per year. Their contract on the corn is all from local growers. And from there, the corn is processed into approximately 65 million gallons of ethanol, 125,000 tons of dried distillery grain, 80 tons of modified wet cake, and 15 million pounds of corn oil. This, again, leaves nothing to waste from the corn. The plant began operation in 2007, utilizing coal as its heat source, and was converted to natural gas in 2016. The process begins with graining the corn kernels into a fine powder-like consistency. It is then combined with water and enzymes while being heated to break down the starch for fermentation, and this mixture is known as mash. The mash is then cooled and mixed with additional enzymes and yeast in the fermentation tanks. This process creates roughly 95% pure CO2 that is normally exhausted into the atmosphere. On June 16th of this year, Red Trail Energy began capturing, purifying, pasteurizing, and sequestering 100% of the CO2 emissions from the process. After the fermentation, the mash is sent through a distillation process that creates approximately 190 proof alcohol. That alcohol is not for consumption, he clearly stated. Gasoline is added to the alcohol in order to denature it, which makes it unsuitable for consumption. The resulting ethanol is purely transported offsite by rail. Once the ethanol is removed, the mash is dried in rotation kilns and sent to the storage building until it is loaded into trucks and sent to farmers. Farmers then buy this. Just a couple facts about them. They employ about 50 people, and a lot of their recruitment of their employees comes from our local Bismarck State College programs. So an impressive plant. A lot of innovation out there that we see from the onset when they first came in 2007 to 2016 now with its recent carbon capture. So kudos to Red Trail and especially to Tyler, who gave us an exceptional tour.
Excellent. Thank you for that update. That's interesting. And they certainly have a history of innovation out there. From day one, they've been doing some really cool stuff. So thanks for the update and bringing staff out with you. That was awesome. Awesome day, I'm sure. Okay, so let's see. We have a few items on consent and approval of our minutes from our July 27th meeting. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. Okay, I have a couple items on my portfolio. I move the commission adopt the order in Ashtabula Wind 3 LLC Otter Tail Power Company transfer certificate number 17, setting application case number PU-22-195.
Second.
Thank you, Sherry. On May 16th, Ashtabula 3 and Otter Tail Power filed a joint application to transfer certificate number 17 from Ashtabula 3 to Otter Tail Power. We issued a notice of opportunity for hearing on this issue and provided until July 22nd to receive comments or requests for a hearing, and no comments or hearing requests were received. So, having considered this matter, the Commission finds that Otter Tail Power Company agrees and is able to comply with the terms and conditions of site certificate number 17, and that the requested transfer is compatible with public interest. So I support this order and this motion today.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. I move the Commission assess a filing fee of $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing at Tesoro High Plains Pipeline, Bakken Oil Express, transfer certificate number 150 and permit number 161, citing application case number PU-22-334.
Second.
Thank you, Randy. On July 25th of this year, Bakken Oil Express and Tesoro High Plains Pipeline filed a joint application to transfer certificate number 151 and permit number 161 from Bakken Oil Express to Tesoro. Comments and requests for a hearing on this matter must be received by September 30th. If deemed appropriate, we can determine the matter without a hearing.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you, Steve. That concludes my portfolio. Commissioner Chrisman.
I move the Commission submit the 2023 Administration and Enforcement Grant application to the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement to request federal funds that are needed to carry out the coal regulatory program for the next one-year grant period that began July 1st, 2022 and ends June 30th, 2023 in Public Service Commission 2023 Administrative and Enforcement Grant application, case number RC-22-344.
Second.
So our total budget amount for the July 1st of 22 to June 30th of 2023 period, including the state share, is $1.547 million. This includes both the direct and the indirect costs. Of that total, the federal share is $990,000 and the state share is $557,000. That split equals 64% federal and 36% state. That's as it has been for quite some time. That's based on OSM's federal lands funding formula, and that their formula considers the federal coal acreage in existing permits and in pending applications. The proposed 2021 to 2023 biennium indirect cost rate of 33.74% was used in this grant application. That changes from time to time, but that's the number that we have to use at this point. The federal allocation of $990,000 is almost $30,000 less than our current grant, and it's almost $120,000 less than what our original projection was. OSM's grant allocations, and here's the reason for that. OSM's grant allocations are based on the state's historic spending for the program. And in the past 5 years, our program costs have been low because of staff turnover and retirements that left open positions. And those open positions, that lowered our 2022 to 2023 grant, because they were going by the last few years. Now we're in a position where the division is fully staffed and we're still utilizing some temporary employees to assist with knowledge transfer. So there's concern that the program costs will exceed prior years in this coming period, and we may need to explore additional grant money to cover anticipated shortfalls. If necessary, we would need to submit a supplementary grant request once we know the additional amount of money needed. So that is something that would take place like late next spring or early summer, very near the end of the year, of their fiscal year. So this 2023 grant budget is about half of the total operating funds that were budgeted for our reclamation division for the 21-23 biennium. I just want to point that out, because of course that was a biennium. This is for 1 year of the biennium. The remainder was already used in the previous grant.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I just want to thank you for that good explanation of where we're at and what's happened, because it's been a challenging transition, and I continue to be really amazed and proud of all the work that's been done over the last 5 years, and even probably longer than that, maybe since we got here, to prepare and move reclamation from the staff that had been there, you know, for several decades in this complicated technical program, to an almost all new staff. Just a couple of the legacy folks who we're very, very grateful for, because they have so much knowledge and wisdom to share and to continue passing on, and really appreciate the ongoing support of staff who've working on a temporary basis to continue with that same work. So this is an ongoing effort to transition that program. And I think it's really been managed effectively and smoothly. And I think a testament to that is the fact that we aren't getting complaints from the mines. On the contrary, they're applauding the great staff that are taking hold here. So great work. Thanks for your leadership on that. And thanks for the leadership from Zana and other Guy and the other longtime team members up there who are helping make it all possible.
Yeah, and I will say also to Jill on this, because Jill, Zana, Steve, they've been in contact with OSM for years. By the way, I should point out, when I mentioned the possibility of an additional grant request, I don't know if probably ever, certainly not in recent memory, have we needed that. But at the end of the year, what we don't use of their share gets sent back to them. And that is available then to a state that runs into a problem like we foresee might happen to us this year. So it's kind of a normal occurrence, but it's always been North Dakota giving back for decades. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they've already been in touch with them about that and they're up to speed on that process, if it does in fact become necessary, they're not just kicking the can down the road and we'll see, we'll hope that this makes it until the end and then figure out what to do with it. You can't apply now for the additional, but they are right up to speed and ready to make the move if in fact it becomes necessary. So.
Yes, thanks for mentioning that too, because Steve, Jill, and Jack have been intimately involved in all of those decisions every step of the way too. It's a good team.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. The motion is approved.
All right, that's it for you, right, Randy?
Yes.
Okay, Sherry, you're up. Doing the yeoman's work today.
Yeah. Stay tuned. Hold on. So, having been approved by the Attorney General, I move the Commission adopt the proposed rules as revised to the North Dakota Administrative Code 69-09-12 and forward the proposed rules as revised to the Legislative Council for publication in Public Service Commission Resource Plans and Cybersecurity Rulemaking Case Number PU22-163.
Second.
Just a little recap of this. This came from the result of statutory changes from the last legislative session to review our resource plan and cybersecurity. The following has been completed, the proposed rules drafted. There was a public hearing, as indicated in this motion, sent to the Attorney General and approved. And so I support this motion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I'll just add one comment. As you recall, these quarterly legislative rules committee meetings, the next one is September 12th. And so I believe that it's a hard and fast thing that they have to be to them a month in advance. And so it's probably going to be on there and will not be addressed by them until December. I looked at my calendar, and it looks like kind of a clear day on the 12th. Clear, as far as our schedules goes. I don't know about the weather. But, because it's so close to a month in advance, maybe it's a day that we don't want to schedule anything, just in case it makes their calendar. I don't know if that's possible or not, but I just did want to point out, since we're right on the bubble there of that, that the next meeting is the 12th of September already.
And when we do those presentations, does Jack usually do it?
He usually does.
Yeah. I would probably like to attend on that one. Maybe we all would. Because this is a...
I guess it's just...
There might be additional questions on this because of the reliability issues that are being seen and talked about a lot. And, this was a pretty prominent initiative from us at the last session.
Keep that date in mind. Like I say, I don't think it's going to make the September meeting.
Right.
Maybe we could put a hold on our calendar with that. Yeah. And Commissioner Fedorchuk, I support as far as maybe an opportunity to be there and listen and learn and hear the comments.
Yeah.
As we move forward, especially with the upcoming session.
Is there any?
I want to just highlight a couple of things on these plans that I'm really excited about. And, when you're making these policy in a, couple years before the session and then, passes in the session and now we're a year past the session and finalizing the rules, et cetera, you never really know how industries are going to evolve. And I just, continue to be pleased with how what we thought about and what we need now are really on par. Like we made plans for, and Jack wrote, you know, these definitions and the resource plan procedure and the attributes. They're just really in line with what the industry needs. So, you know, when you look at the, for example, the plan requirements, they have to make a plan that outlines all their capacity and energy needs, plus a reserve requirement. It has to be least cost, and it can't be selected based on carbon costs, externalities, or emission requirements or goals, or renewable energy portfolio standards. I mean, those are all issues that we're seeing create reliability concerns right now. And so even, you know, a year, 2 years ago, we were already talking about, like, we can't be planning and letting those things drive our plans. And then when it comes to the procedure, the one thing I want to throw out now, because I'll be throwing it out again down the road, and we have one plan that's being reviewed by staff right now with Otter Tail Power. I do want to have some discussions with staff and the two of you on our stakeholder process for those resource plan considerations. I'd like to be a little bit more perhaps intentional about how we seek public input, and I'm really hoping that we get and are able to secure input from some specific constituencies, including business, industrial, and residential customers, as well as from MISO itself, and maybe SPP as well. I think I'd like to reach out to them to say, like, you look at this plan and tell us if you have concerns about anything proposed here and its impact more broadly on the regional market. Because we know these companies operate in isolation, but what they do affects everybody. And so I'm not concerned about what our companies are doing as much as what other states' companies are doing. But I want to be modeling good behavior as a commission and suggesting that this is what other states need to be doing as well as seeking that involvement. So those are just a couple of things I wanted to highlight and throw out there in advance of, and as we work through this process for you guys and for staff as well.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Northern States Power Company electric bill credit rider tariff and rates case PU22186.
Second.
On May 27th, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for hearing that was provided until July 6, 2022 for receiving written comments and hearing requests. No response was received. What this rider is would provide a mechanism for NSP to issue refunds and credits quickly and effectively to the customers in North Dakota. And we have been, staff and myself, in talking with staff, it has been an ongoing issue with them. And they've been talking about this for some time, and I'm glad to see it's finally here as an opportunity. So having considered this matter, the commission, find the tariff and rates is reasonable, and I support this motion to have this bill credit rider.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission, Baja Petroleum Consulting Corporation, Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number GS22-200, and Public Service Commission, Baja Consulting Corporation, Damage Prevention Enforcement Case GS22-201.
Second.
So I'm going to be reflecting two different cases. Some of the stuff will be combined, but when I go into the discussion, we'll look at each case separately. So on May 23rd and 26th, the commission received a one-call complaint from Kinder Morgan alleging a violation. On the 6th, the commission staff did send a letter to Baja enclosing both complaints. Baja responded promptly. So when looking at both of these cases, I'm going to look at GS22-200. On May 17th, they submitted a one-call ticket with work to begin on the 20th. They actually began on the 18th while performing their excavation. What happened then is on the evening of the 18th, a line patroller from Kinder Morgan arrived to the site and discovered that the work had already been completed and the facilities, there was no damages noted. Then reflecting case GS22-201, Baja submitted a one-call ticket on the 24th with work to begin on the 27th. They actually began their work on the 26th, and on the 26th, a line patroller from Kinder Morgan arrived to the site to complete the one-call located and discovered the work had begun and issued a stop work. Just to go back, when they knew that they wanted to start the work early, they reached out to everyone except Kinder Morgan. They had permission from everyone except Kinder Morgan, and Kinder Morgan is the one who came and saw that work begin early. So the staff began working with Baja on the consent agreement, and they do acknowledge that a violation occurred, and they assessed a civil penalty of $500 for each violation for a total of $1,000. They agreed to remit $700 with $300 of the first for $300 for the first violation, and because it was a second violation, upped it to $400 with $300 suspended. And if they commit no further violations within the 5 years. So with a review of it, just to repeat, they're assessed a civil penalty of $1,000, $500 for each violation, $300 for the first violation, $400 for the second, suspending $300 as there are no further violations. So I support this motion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission reduce the filing fee to $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Otter Tail Power Company economic development rates, case number PU22-322.
Second.
On July 14th, Otter Tail filed an application for approval of electrical service rate agreement with new prospective customers. Those interested in this hearing should submit in writing. Comments are requested for a hearing must be received by September 28th, 2022. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. This economic development rider just is... let me get there. Sorry about that. It's new for new customers. They have some people in perspective. That's all I have for that. For a large megawatt. Just as order for, they already do have a rider, and this is for the supply blockchain that's located in Jamestown, but this is for new potential customers, not for any existing customers.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I will just say on this one, I have continued to contemplate this filing. Just if the time goes by and no one requests a hearing, I wouldn't probably just written order to the next meeting, because I think I will probably want at least an informal on this.
Randy, I think that's a good idea. It's just whenever we're doing adding a large user, we need to understand under what terms they're doing that, and because it has a lot of potential impact on customers. So,
I don't want to request an informal now because maybe someone else requests a formal, and then so I'll just wait. But I'm sure I'll want at least that.
And there was a lot of information not provided to see what's coming down the pike, especially when they already have the one rider that's already out there and a customer like we have in Jamestown. So I would agree. I would see what comes in, if not have an informal.
So this would be another customer taking service under that tariff is what I'm understanding.
Yep.
Yeah. And so that's really how this one is set up to function, where they can create these kind of individual arrangements with these large customers, and then they just need to prove to us that it's in the interest of the company and the customers to agree to this, the conditions of whatever they've established. So, sounds good. I mean, I'm glad they're out there ginning up new customers and create finding lots of demand for their electricity. We just have to fully understand what their long-term gain is. So,
or if it does attract, what does all that mean, meeting the demand, like you said?
Yeah.
Yep. As far as that, asking us to consider something, what are we considering?
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission suspend the rates and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Transmission Facility Cost Rider, rate case number PU22-323.
Second.
On July 15th, MDU filed a change to its transmission cost adjustment rate to reflect updated electrical transmission revenues and costs. The effect of the rate change on the bill for the residential customer using 894 kilowatts per hour per month is a decrease of 87 cents per month or $10.44 per year. Those interested to comment or persons desiring a hearing must file a written request identifying their interest in the proceeding and reasons. Comments and requests for the hearing must be received by September 28th, 2022. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. They're looking at this service, if approved, starting November 1st, 2022 until their next filing. The reason for this decrease, the main driver, is the overcollection driven by lower net transmission-related expenses, mainly due to higher SPP 30.9 facility credits received and lower revenue requirements for transmission projects due to delay in service dates of transmission projects. So that's the main driver why they're looking at this decrease for. I support this motion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission reduce the application fee to $10,000, suspend the tariff and rates, and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company High Density Contracted Demand Response Tariff and Rates, case number PU22-337.
Second.
Okay. On July 1st, MDU filed an application to implement a high density contract demand response tariff. Those interested in desiring a hearing must submit a written request identifying their interest. Hearing comments and requests for hearing must be received by September 30th, 2022. If deemed appropriate, the commission can determine the matter without a hearing. The company is proposing this new rate schedule in response to recent inquiries for electrical service to facilities, house block, blockchain technology, where the load requires facilities far exceed those of the company's typical general electrical service customers today, and whose unique operation will require terms and conditions specified by those customers. Like reflective of, I would say, with Otter Tail, looking at something like this, a new demand response, tariff and rate, see what comes in, if those request a formal hearing. If not, I would look at us holding an informal. But I support this motion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That is my proposal.
Okay, thank you. So in terms of announcements, we have a very busy month coming ahead. We have the Xcel Energy cybersecurity discussion this afternoon. Tomorrow we have a work session on the MDU electric rate case. That's just sort of an overview of the case and a discussion from us about what issues we might to see staff pursue in relation to that rate increase request. So that is tomorrow at 10. On Friday, we have a work session on the Bowman Wind project, and that is at 9 a.m., and that we will go through the project where the hearing was a year ago, and so discuss any outstanding issues or issues that were significant during that hearing process, and highlight any additional considerations. There's been a significant amount of public input since the county provided its conditional use permit for that. We have a fair amount in our public input file, which is not part of the official record. So we need to talk about that and just in general sort of refresh ourselves with that case and determine our path forward for reaching a decision on that. And then next week we have the discussion with MISO on, you know, the latest things happening there, MISO and the utilities, and SPP and the utilities. That'll take most of the day on Tuesday. And then on Thursday the 1st, we have the formal hearing on the Clyde Eisenbeiss complaint. And then a legislative discussion the next week, talking with, I think, our stakeholders on some of our legislative proposals, and a meeting with Game and Fish to talk, update with them on some of the issues they have, and just kind of update us on some of their programs and provide an overview, so we're all kind of working on the same page there. And then later that week, a work session on Badger Wind, another wind farm case. And then the next week after that will be the Lake Knight Energy Council quarterly meeting. So lots on the agenda to look forward to. Keep us engaged. All right. Is there anyone online that would might be members of the media? Okay. So we don't have to worry about that. Do we wish to gavel out for a break, or do we wish to move straight into the admin portion of the meeting?
I'd be fine to keep going.
I'll be fine to keep going.
All righty. We will sign our stuff later then and move straight into the admin portion of the meeting.